Hello and welcome to the Parallel Podcast, a tech podcast with accessibility sprinkles. I'm Shelley Brisbane, your host, and this is the episode for December 5th, 2017.
My guests
are starting to talk before I'm ready for them. What is up with that?
No. You're on the wrong set. This is the Blind Bargains cat. I heard Parallel, unless I'm mishearing. Yeah.
It's not the Parallel. I thought I was in the right studio. I must have come in the wrong door or something.
Remember, Joe's on this cruise with Ricky, and he's gone, and you're like doing this Blind Bargains thing.
Is that what we're doing? I thought I just came through the wrong door after the CSUN Blind Bargains cocktail extravaganza. But apparently,
did you just wake up from that?
Yeah, well, it's been a long summer, long summer.
Those things can happen. Hey, welcome. It's Blind Bargains Cast 126. Shelly's here, which is awesome, which means we can break everything. I'm very excited for that. So lots of things going on. We're going to talk speakers a little bit because it turns out we both like to blow lots of money on audio, as I wrote further down on a thing called Sonos that some of you may have heard of, which we've talked about a little bit, but never in detail. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Lots of news. I have no idea where these emails are coming from, all these weird questions and such. And we'll do some Apple stuff because Shelly's here. That's just what we do here on Blind Bargains Cast 146. What do you say? Is that can you do that, Shelly? Is this good? I know.
Sure, I guess I can adjust. Even though it's not my podcast, I can adjust. You promised me we could break things because that's what I'm here for.
Yes, we can break things. Absolutely.
Yay!
We're happy to. Probably should not be breaking the products from our sponsor this week, which is Hims. If you have not checked out the Hims-tastic holiday special, which was a couple episodes back, be sure to do that. Those deals are still going on for the holidays, including on the Braille Sense Polaris and other things as well, the Braille Edge. And if you're looking for the older Braille Sense note-takers, some big discounts on those as well. So you can go to hims-inc.com. We thank Hims for sponsoring us this week.
Thank you, Hims.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was not Dave.
Is that Dave?
Oh, that's almost him.
Everybody's here.
Everybody comes on the Blind Bargain set. I'm over here in New Jersey. That's why I kind of sound a little bit weird again. And I keep forgetting to bring the microphone that I'm supposed to bring. So sorry, Patrick. And you can
I'll deal as it's usual. Okay.
That's what I figured. You know, we should start out with Apple news. Hey, because Shelley's written an Apple book you may have heard of called iOS Access for All. So, why not start out with Apple news? And turns out there has been, some updates, good and bad this week, eh?
Tons and tons of Apple-y things, not just because I'm on the show, but it doesn't hurt. Apple updated VoiceOver for iOS. Well, let me put it this way. They updated to iOS 11.2. Can you believe they're already on 11.2? Whole bunch of VoiceOver fixes included in that. And especially in the Braille category, there were a lot of issues with Braille with iOS 11. And most of these look like bug fixes. And there are a few things to do with the actual VoiceOver voice crackling or not crackling, as the case may be. I haven't tested all these out, but at AppleViz, there is a great list of bugs that have been squashed and a few new ones that have been introduced. But we won't try to talk too much about that.
But this time mostly squashed as opposed to new ones introduced, which is pretty good, especially on the Braille side. And those were some big Braille bugs. I know Scott Davert was definitely adamant about, imagine if you were typing on your regular text keyboard and it was dropping characters. I mean, it would be crazy.
That is not a feature. That is a bug.
No. Right.
If
that happened for sighted users, they wouldn't release it. But somehow for Braille, it takes 3 months to fix. But hey, it is fixed now. Those of you who are, I know I saw at least one friend that was still on iOS 10 until last week. I think we're finally to the point now. Would you say that people can upgrade pretty safely? The major stuff has been squashed.
I think it's safe. It's a little alarming to me that we're already at a 0.2 release, meaning that there were several 0.01s and 0.012s and the like. But yeah, I think now is the time to do it.
Along the same lines, I guess, while we're talking this Apple stuff, some other updates that perhaps have not been so good.
Not so good. So Apple updated the macOS High Sierra operating system last week. There was a big security bug, which meant that people could get root access to an unattended Mac without passwords. And they fixed that, except, oopsie, the fix didn't get fixed. and they released a fix for the fix. And oh, by the way, if you installed one fix and then didn't reboot before you installed the second fix, installing the second fix could re-break your system. So I guess the main point is run all the fixes and for gosh sakes, restart your Mac after you do it. Apple went so far as to have to apologize. So, yeah, not good news.
Wow, that is, Jobs would not have apologized. He would have said something else or whatever, or just wouldn't have happened. Then, of course, that's what, of course, some people are going to say. But some crazy stuff. Hey, you know, your Macs are vulnerable, too. So it's always important for those security updates. Hey, I guess Apple's thinking, you know, we don't have other people creating viruses for us and doing things like that. So we'll just create our own havoc and do it that way. But
so in slightly happier Apple-related news, but this Apple can't take the credit or for the blame for, I have been on the Smart Invert Colors beat. Smart Invert Colors is a new iOS feature that allows you to see images correctly if you have if you're a user of Invert Colors. Instead of the images looking like negatives, they look like pictures. And so for those of us in low vision land, that's pretty interesting. The catch is that third-party apps have to affirmatively support Smart Invert Colors for that to work. And at first, there weren't so many, and now a few more are it's happening. Facebook, Twitterific, Instagram. So if you're into the social medias, you can get better-looking images with Smart Invert Colors. Safari, still, no. But the third-party players are doing something that I think so. I think that there is an issue of how that's done. So to be fair, the Apple apps where they have control of how images are rendered do seem to support Smart Invert Colors, especially camera and photos where you would want that. But web browsing, they have somewhat less control of that. But it's nice to see the third party apps again a couple months after ship. But at least there's more support for.
What about OkCupid?
I don't know. I haven't. That is a good point. You probably would want to see photos if you are a person who can see photos, but I have not been on OkCupid lately. I don't believe the person I'm married to would find that a good use of my time. So
it's accessibility testing.
Let's see what else is going on. So if you moving right along. So you travel a fair bit, JJ. Have you been on a Virgin Atlantic flight lately?
No, I mean, they are international airlines, so I've mostly been flying domestically lately. If somebody buys me a plane ticket, though, I'll happily test out the new in-flight entertainment. Entertainment, of course, on Virgin Atlantic. They are actually now providing audio description for titles, including an accessible iPad. So essentially, they're going to have iPads on all of their airplanes, and if you are coming on a plane and you're blind, they will give you one of these things for the flight, and you can load on, not only can you access the entertainment options, but you can do it with audio described titles. That is really cool. As far as we know, that's the first airline, or at least one of the first. I was trying to think of one of the ones in Canada that was doing this, but definitely on this is the first time I've seen this approach done for in-flight entertainment. So really cool to see, and maybe something that will spur others.
It's very cool, but what I wonder is if it's available on all flights, how many iPads are available? Because if a whole bunch of people are coming over for CSUN on a Virgin Atlantic flight, there might be some issues. Just saying.
One for flight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Type it's deal. Like, everybody gather around. We've got an earbud you can share. Pass it over. But I don't know. I think it's
great. You better all agree on the same movie.
Exactly. Now, I would like it. Please, if we're going to ask airlines to do some things, I would like for JetBlue and those airlines that are more dependent on touchscreen for things like ordering your snacks and your beverages in flight, if we could find some accessible means. I'm always looking gift horses in the mouth. So there may be a movie on Virgin Atlantic, but I would like not to have to use a touchscreen to order my Diet Coke.
You want a snack with your movie?
Yeah.
That makes some sense.
Exactly.
And there's lots of other things. And of course, you know, other airline issues and lots of the apps still are a bit of a mess. Some of them are getting a little bit better. And of course, those kiosks, those dreaded kiosks.
Yes, bad, bad. So if you have enough money to fly on a Virgin Atlantic flight, you might be concerned about your taxes. See what I did there? See what I did there? I reached way out into the outfield and I reached for the Segway and I got it.
How did you do that? Wow.
Yeah, I know.
We've never had a Segway like that before.
Never. So if you are concerned about your taxes and you're a U.S. taxpayer and you've been watching the House and Senate work on tax overhaul legislation, you might be wondering what's in it for blind folk. And the AFB has done a long article that provides some information about what the different bills provide, what impact it has both on the standard deduction and the deductions that blind folks can take. And we are not a political show here, but we will recommend that you go and read that article and learn what you might want to learn.
I had him coming on next.
Really? All right. Excellent. Yeah. That's great.
We might lose a lot of our listeners and probably get a whole bunch of new ones, but...
Sounds good. It's good information, and it's also the sort of, I almost was making notes. I was going to talk about the highlights of the article, and then I realized it is a very densely packed article, and it's probably better to send people off to read it.
It's also really fluid.
Yeah.
It's really fluid.
It's changing, exactly. We don't know what's going to pass.
Right. It passed in the Senate just as we recorded this a day or two ago, and who knows what will happen by the weekend when our show gets released. Lots of things could happen with the tax bill. It is important, I think, though, to pay attention to what is going on, and if you see things that you don't agree with, to reach out to your Congress people and senators and express your concerns. Absolutely, because, yep. I mean, these are huge changes for everyone, blind or not, and it's going to affect you somehow.
Yeah, and there are as big as those bills are, there are probably individual effects that every congressperson isn't necessarily aware of and will certainly not be aware unless you tell them how it's going to impact you and what you think about those plans. Now,
and they're not thinking of something small like the blindness. Oh, did I cut off a segue? Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, sometimes...
Well, let's hear it.
Well, I was just going to say, if you got a tax refund and you managed to save it up for this long and you want to be out getting Christmas gifts... That was a terrible segue, wasn't it? That was awful.
Yeah. But, you know,
Some of them shouldn't be attempted. They just, you know, shouldn't. So anyway, Santa Claus, NFB, like they've done before.
It's almost as if we do too many segues, but...
Really? No. Nobody's ever said that.
Oh, we should... Oh, no, no, we should...
Ever
no,
said
no.
that. More segues. That's what your email, right? Later in Sound Off.
Oh, maybe we get Segway as a sponsor.
I like it because blind people on Segways, that's not scary at all. Yeah. Anyways.
Self-driving Segways, I'm down.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like blind people driving Segways. I can just see us all in San Diego or Orlando on our Segways with our IRA devices on. And no, don't watch out for that. Well, anyway.
So here I'm going to save your Segway, though.
Thank you.
It looks like, and I meant to take this out of the list. We covered that last week.
Oh, never mind.
We covered the NFB thing, so, you know, we don't. Your segue. Don't worry about it. Just forget it. Forget it ever happened.
I wish that I had just stayed in my room and read a good book this evening, because yeah, it's embarrassing when I screw up a segue that we don't even need to talk about.
Oh, it's fine. You know, one would think that we would like cut this out of the show.
No, we're not. We're absolutely not.
We're leaving the whole thing. Right. We're leaving the whole thing. Where are we going? Oh, this. There are books. This is a new book from Kathy Ann Murtha on using JAWS with Facebook. Man, Facebook is one of those websites.
Facebook is just one of those. I want to tell you that Facebook. So many JAWS commands, so little time for Facebook.
Well, of course, you can go to m.facebook.com. That's what I do. Right. But sometimes that doesn't give you all the functionality because, well, it's a mobile site that's intended for phones from 2002. And they don't really keep it very up to date anyway.
So this is for JAWS or Magic users. And this is on the Freedom Scientific site. So if you want some JAWS or Magic-based Facebook guidance.
Is it free or is it?
That's a good question. I believe it's free. I can't say that for sure, however. Let's go look at the link, which is not working for me right now.
While she's doing that, there's also another link that we'll have in our show notes. All these are, by the way, in our show notes at blindbargains.com. We have another list of books on web accessibility. Hey, I should probably read that one, too, considering all the things that are going on, all the work that I've been doing, all this wonderful web accessibility testing that's out there. It's a big market. Hey, those of you looking for jobs, there is lots of work in web accessibility testing. And if you read up on that stuff, it's a good job path for a lot of people. And a lot of that can be done from home. And hey, why not start by reading a book from this list that we would
there like are to, there are lots of them. And it looks like they're at various levels. So the answer to the question about the JAWS Facebook book, it is free when you go to the link. It goes directly to the content that's on the web. So you can consume it as you wish for free.
We're going to be consuming lots of things on this episode, including speakers. Well, I'm not going to be eating them because they're not delicious. Big. No, I would guess not. But lots of cool ways to fill your house with audio coming up when we talk a little bit about Sonos. Also, one more thing. I don't know what that is, but it says it on this list. So
there must be one
coming up. There must be that. All that and much more coming up. A special episode with Shelley Brisbane right here on Blind Bargains Cast 126 after this from Hims.
BrailleSense Polaris is shipping. The future is now. Check out the first Google-certified future-proof note-taker with no touchscreen required. For more information, visit www.hims-inc.com.
Blind Bargains needs you. If you wish to submit a product demo, app review, tip, or something else cool, email feedback at blindbargains.com.
And we're back on Blind Bargains 126. I'm Shelley, and this is continuation of my takeover of the show. JJ is lying bloody in a corner somewhere in New Jersey. Not really. Hey. I didn't hurt him. There he is. Come on back. Come on back. It's time to start the show again.
We're going?
Yes, we're going.
Sorry.
We're talking about speakers.
Oh, yeah.
Sonos speakers.
That's right.
Have you guys heard of those Sonos speakers? They're fancy.
They cost
a ton of money. You notice that? So JJ and I found out recently that we both have some Sonos speakers. So we thought we would talk about them in addition to how much they cost, what we do with them, whether we plan to get more, whether we can afford to get more. If you guys out there will buy my books, then I can afford a lot more speakers. So tell me about your jump into Sonos. Why did you do that, JJ? What do you have?
So I got hooked when I went to a friend's house for a party, and he is one of those who has the entire product line around the house. So there are quite a few. We'll talk about them, but there's the Play 3s, Play 5s, Play 1s now, and a new one called the Sonos One, along with a subwoofer, a soundbar, a thing called the Play Bass. So he has, I don't know which ones he has, but he has several of these things, enough to have one in the bathroom, each bedroom, an extra one to throw outside for a party. And of course, I decided to pull down the app because if you get on the same Wi-Fi network, you can play with it. And
that's fun.
I was quite impressed. And, especially with the sound, but also with the app, the different things you can do, the way you could mesh services. So because it supports everything, and this is the one that actually does support pretty much everything, right? Pandora, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Google Play, and you can mesh the services. That's what I really like. So you could have a Pandora playlist going just in the background, but then you could say slip in a song from Spotify, it would play that song and then it will go back to the Pandora. So it was things like that that impressed me. But it was the price starting at $200. I really want this, but that's just one Play One. And so that's kind of what got me into it. That somebody had a really good deal on one of the buy sell trade lists for a Play 3 for $120 about. So that's a good deal. It's a great deal, about half
those
off.
Those are normally $300.
Normally $300. I think you can get them for $250 now because they're starting to. It's a slightly older version, but yes, yeah, still a great deal. And so now I have one Sonos, but you have many more.
I started out with a Kinect, and the Kinect exists to add Sonos smartness to your existing stereo system. And we have a stereo system that would go through the house. We have multiple speakers, and we have an AB box to turn the different speakers on and off in different rooms. And so we didn't think we needed Sonos speakers, but we did want to be able to control them from the phone. I mean, I've done various things with AirPlay and stuff in the past, but it's so much more fun to use Sonos. You can get to streaming services if you're like me and you're a dinosaur and you also have a library of music that is on a computer somewhere. You can point the Sonos at that. And there's several different ways you can do that. It can be an iTunes library, or it can be a Plex or a Kodi library. There are other ways to do it, as well as all the services JJ talked about. And so the Sonos Kinect, and they have an amp as well, but my Kinect is connected to my amplifier. And so it essentially it performs a function, I guess, similar to a Chromecast. You're talking to it, but it's going out to the other devices to play the music. And we were happy with that for a really long time. And then we decided, we didn't have a speaker in the master bedroom, so we got a Sonos Play 3, and that's a stereo speaker. I should say the Play 1s are not, but you can pair them. Of course, that's $400 if you make a nice pair of Play Ones. So I put a Play One in the bathroom so I can listen to the news in the morning as I'm getting ready to go. And that's kind of fun. And that the other thing that Sonos will do if you have more than one of them is you can customize which combinations are played in which room. So I can, if I wanted, have different music going in the bedroom than in the dining room versus the living room. I haven't done that too much. My house is not that big, honestly, but I could do it if I wanted.
It's more if you have roommates and things like that, or if you have kids and then you'd want to.
Yeah, but it's rooms. Like the fun thing too is it's like he was saying, if you're at a party and you have the Sonos app on your device, you can insert songs into playlists. You can, you know, you can essentially make that a party game, is let people do stuff with the Sonos, which is a lot of fun. And recent thing that Sonos did, the Sonos One, I don't remember what its form factor is, whether it's more like a Play One or a Play Three. Do you know?
It's closer to the Play One. They still sell the Play One, but this is now the Sonos One, O-N-E, where the other ones are written Play colon number one.
Right. And the Play One has Amazon Echo functionality in it. So out of the box.
You mean the One? No, here we go.
I'm sorry, yeah, one. Not the Play One, right. The One. The new
confusing
one.
Enough. You can make that. We'll talk about this in a second.
And I thought you explained it in a way that made perfect sense to me, and then I screwed it up. So yeah, hey. But the one, the new one, as it were, lets you command it through Echo functionality. You don't have to have any other Echoes in your house. I didn't buy a One, but because I have both an Echo and the existing Play, what happens to be Play 3 in my kitchen, which is right near where the Echo is, but you can use the Echo to tell the Sonos to do things. And the way you do that is you have an account on Sonos that you connect via the Alexa app. Sorry if I triggered anybody out there. I was trying not to say it.
Happens just about every episode.
I know, right?
Yep.
And once you have that account, the Echo knows the names of your Sonos devices. So even though my Echo is in the kitchen, I can say, play Spotify in the bedroom, or I can be more specific than that. I can say a playlist. It doesn't do everything. I don't remember all the limitations of it, but I know that I can point it virtually and say, play it in the bedroom, even though there's not an Echo in there. Now, there are some quirks about that. For example, if you, like me, walk into the kitchen and say, what's the weather like today, to your Echo, and the Sonos device in your bathroom happens to be playing, it will mute long enough to tell you the weather, which is not ideal behavior. Why does it do that?
So does it tell you the weather through the Alexa or through the Sonos?
Through the Alexa, which is the weird part, right? I mean, it doesn't, like, the Sonos is only doing...
Is that a setting you can turn off?
Not that I've been able to find.
Right.
I mean, because that's not ideal behavior. I don't know why it does
Well, and
that.
We should mention, and maybe they will add that. So this all just happened in the last couple months. The Alexa support was announced in the
October,
fall. And they've also, October. And then they said that Google Home support is coming at some point as well. And then the Sonos One, O-N-E, the speaker that has it already built in, came out pretty recently. Although that seemed to have had a couple of limitations. It didn't do Spotify at first. They've now fixed that.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
There's a couple
My
other...
guess is that they'll have more speakers too. I mean...
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I would think the speakers coming out in the future are going to have this for sure. And you can... And that's the cool thing. And Sonos knows this. The cool thing... One of the really cool things about these is you can just buy one, and like I did, or buy the Kinect like you have... And that's your gateway into the whole thing. And they know it, because then you're going to want to buy, but we could put another one here. We could put another one here. And then they're all linked together. They sync them up room to room so that, you know, the music will not be like echoey throughout the house if you try to do your own setup like sometimes it would be.
And that's I will mention that, because it's kind of an oddity. So Sonos has the ability to group. So you can say, I would like to play the bathroom and bedroom speaker together. And you do, especially if you're doing streaming, you have to do that, because if you turn them on separately, then they won't be in sync. But if you group them, they'll be in sync. So that sounds good, right? Well, normally when I get up in the morning, I have my Sonos set as my alarm in the bedroom and in the bathroom. But otherwise, I don't typically want those speakers grouped together. But once I make them into a Sonos group, they're together unless I go and explicitly break them out of the group that they're in. Does that make sense?
Can you have a speaker in more than one group?
No. Hmm. That's what's you would think that you would just create whatever number of groups you wanted and have, so I could say my party speakers are my outside speaker and my living room speaker, for example, and my kitchen speaker. But my alarm speaker might be my kitchen and my bedroom speaker. Well, you can't really do that. And that seems like a limitation of the software, I think. I mean, I don't know why
it would have to be. And I think you can do that with the groups on Chromecast, which is, you know, probably the closest thing you're going to get to a competitor to this, which is, although it's still quite a bit different in how it operates. That's a vehicle to send stuff to speakers.
Right.
But there is a lot you can do with the apps, though. So you can get apps for iPhone, for Android, for Mac, and Windows. I've actually liked the Windows computer app because you can type in stuff very quickly, and I'm always sitting on my laptop anyway, so I end up doing a lot of things on the computer. And you can search for stations or songs or artists. The artist search I'm finding is a little bit clunky, at least on the computer, if you try to do it through Spotify or Google Play. But you can do that, and you just send it to whatever speaker. There are hotkeys for just about everything, so controlling the volume, fast forwarding, rewinding, things like that. So that is really good. And of course, the mobile apps is where you're going to be doing a lot of your stuff. That's where you do the setup, especially, is on the mobile app. And that, for me, was pretty accessible. There was one little point where it said, press these two buttons that we're showing you a picture of now. And I kind of had to do a little bit of...
When you're first setting it up, it does that. And once you have done it, it's easy to know how to do it.
There's only three buttons total. So, I mean,
right. I was going to say the picture itself is not guiding you. And there's a point where it says, you know, when this light is green, do this. And I'm colorblind, so it's no good for me either. But you can kind of figure it out based on its behavior, especially if you set one up before. So it's a minor thing, but it's a little bit of an annoyance when you first get started.
Now, you've played with the apps as well, and you said for low vision, a few issues?
Yeah. So I've used the Mac app, and I haven't used VoiceOver with it, and so maybe somebody can write and tell us whether it's VoiceOver compatible. From a low vision point of view, I actually like the app, too, because it's well laid out. You know, the icons and the fonts that they use are fairly large and high contrast, so it's pretty easy to get around and to search, especially if you're working with multiple services and messing with your music library, which, as I say, I have, you know, both an online library and one that lives on a computer. And so I like the computer app for that. That happens to be in my office, and that's where I tend to control music more than any other place. On the iPhone, I think I've used it a little bit on Android, but on the iPhone, the app is sort of a work in progress for two reasons. First of all, if you're a low vision Mac OS user or iOS user, especially if you use Invert Colors, you'll know that sometimes you'll have a screen that represents with a dark background and sometimes with a light background. Usually when you pull down a menu, the contrast changes. And Sonos does a lot of that. They have side menus that you pull down and it's a different color from the background. And so if I didn't have accessibility shortcut tuned to Invert Colors before, I certainly did after I started using Sonos. So that's kind of annoyance. It's gotten a little bit better.
Didn't they redo the app?
They did redo the app, and it's gotten somewhat better of late. There's still a little bit of a side menu situation going on, but it is considerably better. The main problem that still exists, and this is true of a lot of iOS applications, is that they're turning to smaller fonts, and they're not using the dynamic type that Apple provides for them. And so sometimes it's a little hard to read. Once you're in a song, to find out what's playing from a low vision point of view is not difficult. That type's easy to read, but when you're actually digging through various services and trying to figure out which thing you want to play, some of the text is a little smaller than I would like. But the fact that they redid the app has actually made a fairly big difference. I mean, it's not as bad as it was, but it's still not perfect. But it's certainly usable, and it's accessible to VoiceOver as well.
Yeah, and the same thing I noticed that on Android as well. The old app was decent. There was one big quirk where it read every single item as a checkbox.
Well, that's I don't think there are any checkboxes in there.
Right. It's not a usability issue. I mean, it's just a really big annoyance.
Oh, it's like, just like, Sonos. That's the way it talks. It's weird.
Right. So that does, they fixed that along other things. And to me, it definitely was a pretty simple interface to play with. And just what everything is labeled, you have your usual tabs and you have, you know, you can just try to browse around, you can search. By the way, the search on the app is cross-service as well. So if you search for a song
or
a station, you add it. So you add your services. So say for radio, you add TuneIn and iHeart and whatever else you have. Or for music, you add everything you have. including your own music, and it will search across all of them. And there's so many services I haven't even heard of that I just kind of need to look at and see what's out there.
And if you add that to the Echo thing, I mean, I love the idea that you say, hey, Echo, play, you know, Queen in the bedroom. And it's going to go and find it on whatever service, you know, probably Amazon or Google Play or something. And it's going to send it right where you want it. You don't have to worry about saying, open Spotify and find, you know. the other thing is...
I can see that.
It's kind of cool. The other thing is that a lot of times I'll be using the same streaming service frequently on the same speaker. So in my bathroom, I listen to the news a lot. And so if you go, there are literally three buttons on top of the thing. There's a little square button, and then there's a rocker button that functions as a volume control. But if you press the button on top of the play one, it will start playing the last thing you streamed. So I don't even have to go to the app if I just want to play the last thing that I was listening to.
That is really nice. And I can't wait for the voice control thing, which is definitely when I went from, I still have my Google Home, of course, and I have this, and having to go into the app for some things to turn on music, like, wait a minute, this is kind of taking a step backwards. But the speaker, the Play 3 at $250 sounds way better than the Google Home or the Echo at half the price. Now, those have come down in price too now, but those speakers, and they're small. I mean, of course, the problem is now I want Play 5s, and they're $400 or $500. They're $400 or $500, and of course, you really should get a pair of them if you're going to do it correctly. They say the Play 3 is stereo, but it's, you know, the two speakers are right next to each other.
It is, but because it's all in one box, I mean, what is it, about a foot long, something like
that? Not even, yeah.
Yeah, I
almost thought I saw the wrong speaker when they first sent it to me. I'm like, wait, is this really the Play 3? Did I buy the right thing? You know, and it is, because it is.
The Play 1 is tall and vertical, probably 3 inches square and tall. And then the Play 3 it lays on its side and, you know, probably less than a foot wide. But it was funny because I put my Play 3 in the kitchen right next to where the Echo had been sitting. And I was one of those who, I don't play a ton of music on the Echo. And so I never really, it was an Echo Dot. So I don't really have a lot of complaints about the speaker because I'm listening to news or I'm telling the Echo to do stuff and it doesn't really bother me. But when I put the Play 3 right next to it, it really got on my nerves because it was such a good speaker.
So, of course,
I moved the Echo over a few feet.
that makes some sense. Any last words? I think, you know, we could, this is one of those topics we could go on for hours. And yes, you could spend lots and lots of money on this stuff. But, you know, because of the one, O-N-E, the Play ones I'm seeing now discounted a lot of places for $150. So if you want your gateway into Sonos, they've knocked the Play one down to $150 now. So that's, you know, if you want to just try it out and see if you like it. And they have really good resale value. So if you really don't like it after a few months, you probably get most of that money back. You can start there.
And if you have existing stereo, I recommend the Kinect. It's just a little box that will give your, if you have nice speakers and if you have, if you just like to be able to send streaming services to the existing stereo setup you have, the Kinect, I believe it's, I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to say $250. It might be $149. It's not ridiculously expensive, and I felt like it was a good buy. But then JJ's right. If you get one of those, you're going to think about how you'd really love to have a speaker in your second bathroom, even though you've never had that thought before.
I mean, hey, honestly, the bathroom is probably the next place I'm going to put. I mean, well, maybe one in the living room first, but you know.
I talked to somebody who had gotten some Sonos and had said something like, my partner said, you can't have one in the bathroom. That's ridiculous. And my reaction was, no, the bathroom is the perfect place for it. So whatever your lifestyle, you don't have to have.
Yeah, and catching up on news while you're in the shower, that makes a lot of sense. I'm
saying and honestly, that's the perfect place for a Play 1 because a Play 1 is significantly less speaker than a Play 3 is, and like I say, you can make a Play 1's a stereo pair, and I considered doing that instead of getting a Play 3. I was going to get two Play 1's a stereo pair, but I decided to get one and see how I liked it, and it's $200, which is expensive, but it's still the perfect bathroom speaker. It's very durable. It hasn't, you know, gotten heat stroke from being near the shower or anything. It seems to be
don't put it in the shower.
I'm seeing
$350 for the Kinect, so maybe you just got a really good deal, or it's...
It was a while ago that I bought it, but I just may not remember. Maybe I'm blocking it out because I don't want to think about how much I paid.
Because you spent that much.
But money. I like it very much.
Some cool stuff and some cool apps. So, of course, if you have any questions, if you have Sonos yourself and have any feedback, well, you can email us feedback@blindbargains.com. And we're happy to help you spend money. That's what we do on here, right? Spend lots of money.
More
money. Hey, you know what? I could do a tip here while we're doing this about spending money. So here's the tip for this week. Dealing with a website, I mentioned this on the Blind Bargains website a couple weeks ago, and I talked more about it there. Have you ever heard of Ibotta?
The name is familiar, but I don't know.
Ibotta. So it's an app that is not as accessible as Sonos, but it's accessible enough. It's usable enough. And it is one of those services, and there's many of these, but I like this one a lot. It's one of those services that gives you rebates back for shopping. Why do I like this one? Well, this one happens to be currently giving you a dollar back every time you take an Uber. I take a lot of Ubers, so these add up pretty quickly. So what you do, well, first of all, to sign up, we have the link over at Blind Bargains. We'll put it in the show notes. And the reason we're going to give you our link is you can get $10 for signing up under us. Yes, it's one of those wonderful referral code deals. Then you can sign up your friends and you can give them money and you can, you know, get it for yourself. But anyway, we'll send you the link. You can sign up. You get $10 just for doing that and doing your first rebate. Uber is the easiest one to do. So you go to the Ibotta app. All you do is look for the Uber thing and click on Uber and click on buy now. It then takes you to the Uber app and then you do your Uber as normal and then you get a dollar. So, I mean, if you're doing like $5 Uber trips, these can really add up. And they do lots of other bonuses and things like that. And they do other deals and rebates depending on which stores you shop at. So whether it's online stores or whether it's getting groceries at the grocery store, there are some that you can take a picture of a receipt. I haven't tried that. That seems a little more cumbersome to deal with, but some people do like doing those as well, and you can get money back for that as well. So hey, we always like saving you money on Blind Bargains. So there you go, Ibotta. And like I said, we will put the link in our show notes, and it's also an article on blindbargains.com that you can use to get $10 easy cash. And then, hey, a dollar every time for Uber and then other deals as well. So there you go. Trying to save you some money or give you some money so you can buy more Sonos speakers.
I was going to say, how many Ubers do you have to take in order to get your first Play One? I think that's 200 Ubers. Oh, but you know, in the course of a year, you might do that.
I don't even want to look. I don't even want to look.
You're single-handedly holding up Uber's stock price.
No, like I said, $150 right now for a Play, the older Play One. I guess you'd want the new one though, right? You think if you're going to get the one, you might as well.
I probably would save the money on the Play One or the One to see how I liked it, because there might be, for some people, Sonos might not be all the new hotness that we think it is, and that's your hook, because if you get it and you like it, you're going to want a 3 or 5 or a soundbar, whatever your configuration is, because the one will say, you'll think it's a little bit like just having a one is a little bit like having an Echo or a Google Home and thinking, well, it's really great that all these services are coming to me. I sure wish the speaker were better. And that's what you'll think when you get the one. It's not that it's a bad speaker. It's just that it is not a stereo, hi-fi, whatever quality speaker. And we're back to talking about Sonos again. We segued ourselves into a circle.
We were done with that. Here's what we have. According to totals or uber.totals.io, I think that's a little bit low. It says I've taken 559 Uber rides, 3,452 miles, average
since
of six
when?
Miles per trip. Ever.
That's a lot.
A total of 5 days. Five
I love
hours,
that it keeps
minutes.
Your mileage. That's awesome. I didn't know that it did that.
Yeah. And I'm now actually, before it was pretty even, like miles versus waiting time. It was about 2 days each. But I think I'm doing these longer trips from the airport. And of course, that's just Uber. You know, that's not Lyft either. So
it's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Spread your money around.
Anyway, feedback, of course, thank you so much for sending us stuff to feedback@blindbargains.com, as you just heard. Still getting in the comments on the passing of Rich Cavallaro, which, of course, is very sad and unexpected, and Juan was writing in just talking about his time with Rich over at the Louisiana Center. And of course, Rich at that time and how he always was the geek ahead of his time, getting the latest iPhone, getting the fanciest tech. Well, we saw that all the time from Rich. And he does make a passing comment about how they were talking regularly, several of them, on a Haytel group. Remember Haytel? But they were talking on a Haytel group. Yeah. And kind of lost touch. And, you know, sometimes these things happen and makes you think about, hey, you know, the friends that you haven't talked to in a while, maybe reach out and say hi, because you just never know. So, lots of nice words coming in. You know, that's really do appreciate that.
Looks like you got some feedback on your Fantastical coverage in BBQ 125. I'm a Fantastical user. That.
You use it as well.
I do.
That's Fantastical.
It is Fantastical. Yes, it is. I like it. And especially because in the macOS world, Calendar is one of those apps that you're like, wait, you're Apple. You're supposed to be doing better than that. So Fantastical is much more fantastical than Calendar on macOS.
It's fine, low vision as well, I'm assuming.
It is, yeah. It's. I won't say it's better. I mean, in iOS, it probably is a little better than Calendar. On macOS, it's probably even. But it's perfectly functional, and I like it a lot.
By the way, on that as well, because that came from Alex Hall. He also sends in a tweet just now. He says when we were talking about Shelley, he says not a question for Shelley, but just a point. Shelley's Twitter handle is her name. Mine will never be. Yeah.
Well, good
what
for
are you.
What
are you, like, Twitter user number 12 or something?
I was around at the right time. I must say that it's not always good, because I have had many people request to buy my name from me nicely. And ooh, some people who have been less offer? Nice about it. Well, they don't offer money. I don't let them get that far usually, because I'm not interested in selling it. And a couple of people have been a little less than nice. And I got hacked pretty good once a few months ago. Oh, and I think the more attractive, right before I got verified, I went ahead and did that. And I learned a little bit about dealing with Twitter tech support. And it was not pleasant. And the hacking part was less pleasant. And I suspect that having that handle provoked a few of those attempts.
I wasn't going to put this question in because it's a, you know, these speculation questions. But hey, why not? I figured you were on the show. So there it is.
Oh, yeah. iPhone SE 2, right?
But isn't there already been a 2? Wouldn't this be the 3? Because there's already been
no,
a
2A. Actually, the way I heard it referred to the other day was the SE Pro, which made me laugh. So so you have iPad Pros and Mac Pros and MacBook Pros. Okay. Why in the world would you have a SE Pro?
SE is not Pro.
Because you have pluses on the phone, which is based on size. Anyway, well, forgetting the name, I think they would do it, because I think the SE was more popular than Apple expected it to be. I live with somebody who has one and likes it. And that, of course, matters to Apple, I'm sure. They called me up and they said, hey, Shelley, do you know anybody who would? So if only to upgrade the processor, I suspect that they will at some point do an SE. Now, I think the more interesting question is at what point some of the other phones that have stuck around will go away, because all the way from the 6S Plus, there are a lot of Apple phones out there. They're kind of too many.
And
it seems like they would
come from?
Pull some of those back. Like, I don't know what the point of the 6s and the 7s are at this point, at least the 6s. But yeah, I think an SE2 of some kind, like I say, primarily for processor improvement, and if they could do Face ID, I suspect they would, but I don't know what's technically involved in getting that enclave into a tiny little space, but I think it would be welcome for SE owners.
You know, didn't the SE kind of start out too, just because there were lots of leftover 5 parts, it seemed, and, you know, hey, we have these smaller... You laugh, but I mean...
I think that's kind of the rumor. I don't know that that's, in fact, the case. I think it was because they were getting rid of the 5 form factor. And a lot of people said, especially because that was right when the first pluses were coming out, I don't want a phone that's that big. I think people have gotten used to them now. But there were a lot of people who really wanted a small phone. And I refer to the person I live with who carries it around in his pocket. And he literally puts it in a pocket as opposed to a holster or some other place. And
somehow
he likes
fit my
it
Galaxy in my pocket.
Sense.
I don't know how I do that, but it's
well,
still there.
Big pockets.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
I guess
they're
depends on
pockets.
your pocket choices, but I sort of like, the thing I like about the SE, even more than that I think it's practical for some people, is just that it surprised Apple in kind of a good way. And Apple's like, all right, if you wanting to make an SE, we'll make one. And then they sold a bunch of them. And of course, you know, you just watch with the SE2, people be like, oh, we're so over that. We'd like a plus plus now. You know,
well, and then all the newer things, yeah, the plus plus, the bigger things, of course, you know, the 8 and the 10, you know, taking out some things, no home button, no headphone jack. Maybe that drives people too to the SE, which is kind of, you know, Apple.
I think so too. But don't you think that if they came out with a new SE, they'd just get rid of the home button, the home jack is what I was about to say. And that's not right. The headphone.
Yes. Or the headphone button.
I love that headphone button. I use it all the time.
It just releases the headphone. It just pops right. No, right. I think they would keep it the classic. I honestly think the home button stays. I don't know. I think the headphone jack stays. You know, it depends on what kind of parts they have. Hey, it's speculation. We have no idea. So the answer is we have no clue.
It's fun to make things up. I enjoy.
There you go. And that brings us to one more thing. And I don't know what to do here, but all I know is it says it one more thing. And this is the Parallel, right? That's what we're on.
One more thing. That's right. The Parallel Podcast has a feature called One More Thing. Parallel Podcast, a brilliant show. I wish there were more episodes. Don't you?
What can you do
at the end
that?
Of the show, we do this thing called
One
More Thing.
If only you had some control.
I know. If only I could make that happen. maybe if I had some good intro music and some sponsors. That's what I need. Sponsors.
Hey, there you go.
I know.
Is that how that works?
So one more thing. So basically we talk about serious topics for 45 minutes or so. And then I say one more thing and I ask people something ridiculous. So let me think. I'll ask you something ridiculous. Is that okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So if we were to have a Blind Bargains Parallel Podcast, not a cocktail soiree, because we've done that before, but if we were to have, say, a dinner or buffet at CSUN or at one of the conventions next summer, and if the guest of honor were the illustrious co-host of this program, Mr. Joe Steinkamp,
yes,
what do you think would be his number one request on the buffet? What would he want to have on the buffet?
Oh, gosh. Something between the birthday cake Oreos and the Thanksgiving flavored Pringles. I think you would just want all of that stuff.
Just mash them all up in a bowl. Is that,
right,
that pretty much
with
where we're going
with some Jones soda that's flavored like stuffing?
Right. So it's gonna be carbonated and it's gonna be like Pop Rocks is what that's gonna be like. It's all that
I'm
stuff.
I'm bringing my own food if this is how
I am too. Can we just bring boxed lunches? And I'll make some cocktails. We'll have like the after party. We'll have better food than the before party. Sorry, no. They don't have a ticket. They can't come.
No, sorry. Okay.
So now it's your turn. You could get to ask me something.
Oh, cool. I get to ask you something?
Yeah, ask me a question.
What do I want to see? I asked Twitter for this and nobody responded.
You did? Damn it. I should have put the fix in. I didn't look at Twitter for an hour and a half.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we try to do. I'm kind of curious. You have your, and it's not even as lighthearted, but it can be, depending on how you want to take the question. You have the smart speakers and you have the Alexa. What is the smart home gadget device that maybe is not even invented yet, but that you really would like to have either in your house or in your life?
That's a good question. I, whatever it is, it would be one that would cause the other smart gadgets to be able to talk to one another. I'm like, could you guys work it out? This is what I want. Could you guys make it happen? As opposed to, you know, I programmed the lights and I have an IFTT and the thing and the Google Home and the Alexa and it's compatible. And just like, could you just make it happen? So that when, you know, when I get up and I say, play the news in the kitchen, it will just happen, and I won't have to have done a lot of So I'm also kind of stalling because I want to try and come up with a good answer to this. There's got to be something like
that. We're getting there, though. No, I mean, we're getting to those because you can get like things called Z-Wave and things like that. But like you said, yeah, you have to program a lot of that. They don't just work.
And I have the ability to do it. I mean, and I kind of enjoy that stuff. But what I would like for it to do is to program it and stay programmed. It's funny because I have a couple of Hue bulbs we just use it for the outside lights, and they turn off and on at night and in the morning, which is great. And I think that would be great for a blind person too, who doesn't really care about lights, but who might want security lights outside their home, right? So you just get the Hue bulbs and you set them and forget them. Well, for the first few months I had them, they misbehaved a lot and I would have to reset them. Finally, they seem to have settled down. I think they've had some software updates. But when people talk about smart homes, they say, well, I have these scenes and I tell the lights that I want them to dim down to 30% and I want this light on, I don't want this light. And they have all these IFTT routines that they run. I just want them to work. The point of a smart device is that you set it and it does its thing. And you can count on it's doing its thing, and you don't have to go and noodle with it or come up with different scenarios for it. I don't have lighting scenes and things. I just want my lights to turn off in the morning. It's all I want.
The idea of like doing like a, hey, Alexa, you know, set up my romantic scene. I'm like, that's really going to go over well if you're bringing someone.
I know, right? Your date's like, really? Wait. Stop talking to the machine. Talk to me, please.
you're a geek. Just get out of here.
A couple of those commercials are kind of funny, but there's one. Is it the Google? I can't remember. There's one where the person is speaking to the device and she's misunderstood. And she says something. There's this whole series of things that it ends up calling somebody she doesn't want to talk to. Like, no, not call Jim. I meant go to the gym or something. And it's kind of clever. But that's the point at which we are with some of this technology, where
it's still pretty new.
So work together, but also keeping your expectations realistic is helpful. Like, I don't have those bulbs all throughout my house and I don't depend on them doing things that are out of their reach. Like I say, all I want is the lights to go on at night and off in the morning outside my house. That's a simple request, isn't it? I mean,
it is pretty simple, but hey, you know, some of the stuff we're getting there though, if, you know, you can have like, you can get a smart oven with a camera inside the oven if you really wanted it now, or you can, and set it up and have the food ready for you for breakfast in the morning. So you can, there's stuff like that.
That's true. You could have your food in there all night. And then when you can't sleep, you can wake up and look at it and think about the oven fried potatoes you're going to have in the morning or whatever it is.
Yes,
you know.
Yes, exactly. Yum, yum, yum. I like the lighting idea though, so I'm going to have to look into that, because I seriously on Halloween was doing this. I bought a bag of candy because I wasn't entirely sure if my outside light was on or off.
There you go. Well, I really appreciate your coming on the parallel. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to do it anytime. You know, maybe again next week or...
That sounds great. You come on the show next week bring that other guy. What's his name?
Jack, Diane, something.
And or maybe his friend Ricky could come, because we like her.
I wonder what they're doing, right?
I don't know.
Eating, probably.
Yeah, right.
Eating some birthday cake Oreos.
They'll tell you all about whatever they're eating when they come back.
There you go. That's true. That's going to do it, folks. So we really appreciate you listening. Blind Markets Cast 126. If you have any feedback that you want to send us, you can tweet us at Blind Bargains, or you can email feedback@blindbargains.com. Of course, go to the show notes, blindbargains.com, and that's where you can read out a lot of the stories that we have talked about. We'll throw a couple of Sonos links up there as well. And of course, the Ibotta link that I mentioned earlier as well. Where can they follow you?
Follow me at Shelly on Twitter, Shelly. Don't hack me. Please don't hack me.
Don't hack Shelly.
No, don't. Make a note. Or you can go to parallelpodcast.com and you can see what this show was really meant to sound like. Or if you are not tired of following me by now, you can go to iosaccessbook.com and learn about my book, iOS Access for All, Woo-hoo. Your comprehensive guide to accessibility for all the iOS things.
Very cool book. And of course, you missed the Black Friday sale, but still a really good price at the regular price. And you can.
Thank you so much to everybody who didn't miss the Black Friday sale. I had a lot of response to that. And so we know that you're out there listening to the Blind Bargains Holiday Gift Guide. There were lots of good things there this year, including iOS Access for All. But yeah, still a fair price, even though it's not on sale. More sales could happen. Follow me on Twitter. Yeah. Who knows?
There you go. Also, still sales from our sponsor this week, HIMS, www.hims-inc.com. Like I said, lots of deals on things like the BrailleSense Polaris or the Braille Edge or the Smart Beetle under $1,000. So HIMS-inc.com. Thank you so much to HIMS for sponsoring us. Thanks, Patrick, for dealing with me forgetting my microphone again. And Shelly sounds a lot better than I do. That's just my bad. One of these weeks, maybe I'll remember it and we'll see what we can do. And Joe might be back next week. We'll see. You know,
I'm not sure if he makes it.
Well, you know, if he comes, maybe he just might like decide that the cruise is, you know, maybe he'll get a job on a cruise boat. you know, selling.
This is like a lounge singer or what? What do you think Joe would be doing on a cruise ship?
Executive
maybe
chef?
Maybe a DJ. Executive chef. Oh, there you go. For the Oreo Jones soda concoctions for your
snacking
pleasure.
You know, he probably is like looking at their speaker system right now and trying to figure out how it's all set up and wired and... I'm sure
you know, I think I heard once that Joe used to sell audio equipment. Have you ever heard that story?
No. Yeah. He did? I think it was over on... It was somewhere on another podcast. Yeah. But
I think... Maybe once he mentioned that.
Maybe. I don't know. Okay. We got to go. The show's running long, so...
Bye!
And by long, I mean shorter. So that's just how we do it. Yeah. See you, folks. Love the short podcasts. We'll be back next time.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.